councillors, welcome staff members and also members of the public that are watching the meeting. I declare the meeting open of the 22nd of September at 4:05. At 10 minutes past four. I apologise for, it's actually 18 minutes past four. There you go. I apologise for the delay. We're just finishing off a workshop and also we've just had some technical issues being at the new chamber. Can I ask that we begin with the council prayer? Lord, so I just ask that we bow rather than stand. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Can I also acknowledge the Wangal people who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I would also like to pay my respect to their elders, both past and present. I just note to members of the public that meetings of council and council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting meeting transparency. Such recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act and are promptly made available for public review via the council website. I note there are no apologies or leave of absence. Do I have any declarations of interest by councillors?
Yes, I do have one, using our newfound knowledge. For item 9920, renaming of Hornsey Lane, I'm part of the Geographical Names Board. I believe it's a non-pecuniary and less than significant interest because the board does not decide on road renamings.
Okay. Thanks, councillor. So that's been noted. Any other declarations of interest by councillors? Any declarations of political donations to be made? I don't believe there's any development applications, and I'm not sure if we review that to read for planning proposals only from now on, considering we don't deal with DAs anymore. And there's also a recording of councillors voting on planning decisions, which is there. With the minutes, so there's the minutes of the following meeting of the Burwood Council held on the 25th of August 2020 and the extraordinary council meeting held on the 7th of September 2020. So that's been moved by Councillor Furno Cook, seconded by Councillor Del Duca. I'll put the motion that the minutes be adopted. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Okay, item, so we're starting with there's no address by any of the public. I don't believe there's been any registration. Is that right? Okay, there's been no registration there. So the first item is the item with regards to public parking and development in commercial centres. I think I've raised this issue before. I'm not going to read through the minute. I believe councillors have read through. It actually addresses one of the issues that we're determining tonight, which is with regards to the Everton Road parking changes. One of the big things that I think that we need to, or one of the concerns that I have is that we have developments that are going up which have to comply with a certain amount of parking to service the retail space or the commercial space within that building. And one of the things I've noticed in a number of developments, which is like that on Everton Road, for example, is retailers are going in and now asking to change parking provisions to suit their business, which I have a bit of an issue with, which I'll raise at that item. But in saying that, there's parking provided in those developments for those retail shops, which includes customer parking. Why are they not being accessible? And one of the things I would ask via this minute, which I will put, is that staff investigate methods of ensuring that parking that is provided for customers and or staff of a development are able to park in the spaces designated for such purposes, and that access to such spaces or parking areas are not restricted by boom gates or other means. So what's happening if you've got to provide 300 square metres of retail space in a development, there's a certain, it's like a shop and build road. You know, if you have a medical centre, for example, you've got to provide a certain number of car spots. Now, we have a VPA policy too, and that's why I was going to ask for a slight amendment, that too, that council, or the GM, sorry, or council, investigate council's current VPA parking strategy policy and undertake a review if required. So the two have got to be consistent with each other. So I've always been supportive of our VPA re-parking. I know we've had some differing of opinion with some of the councillors in that, but I that's and this is one of the reasons I support it, really. It's because I'd rather take the payment of those parking spots and create public parking, because what's happening is these developments are providing parking that should be available and then closing them off, and then they lease it as part of their commercial space. So, for example, on Victoria Street, you have a medical centre which is quite hard to find parking unless you park in Westfields. Surely part of the parking for that commercial space would have been provided in that development. Why is that being restricted to the public? So is it a requirement in these developments that you only provide public parking spots which are leased out as part of the commercial space? Is there not an element of those spaces that have got to be provided to visitors? It's like having a visitor spot, for example, for residential units. So people come and visit people that live in those units, and the visitor spots are provided in those developments. So isn't there visitor spots provided for retail spaces in these developments? So now council's being, and sorry, I'll get to you, councillor. Yeah. So now council's getting pressure put in on itself to provide parking for these businesses that really, you know, it's not our core business to be running businesses or providing parking. That's part of the development. For example, the development next to the PCYC, the old development there, the old urban development, had a childcare centre going on top, and there was a request some years ago, I think, to provide stopping on Mary Street. Like, why is that council's now responsibility? And there's got to be an onus on businesses too. So when you go in to look at opening a new business, you've got to look at your surrounds, you've got to look what your parking is, just like you would look at your commercial space. It shouldn't be something that's always forced back on councils, because now that's starting to make changes to our public parking strategy, which really starts to deviate from that policy. So we need to make a decision whether we start sort of making ad hoc decisions to these businesses, or we go back and say, well, no, it's your business, it's your responsibility. You go and determine your parking within the building that you actually took up space in. Councillor Furnacook, you had a question?
Oh, yeah, just for you. I suppose it's just also, I'm just wondering if that's also, you know, as part of a DA, it's approved maybe by a private certifier, and then they put in the boom gates afterwards.
Well, that's the question and I've raised this issue before. And I'm going to continue to raise it, because we've either got to formulate some form of condition in our development applications. I believe there's no requirement at this stage. I believe you've got to, from my understanding, the current process is the DA has to comply with a certain amount of parking spots. Those visitor spots can then be traded off via VPA with council. My second part to this minute, which I'm going to change, is that the GM investigate council's VPA parking strategy policy and undertake a review if required. So you can either do that. However, most of the developments that are happening are not putting in a VPA with council. So what's happening is those developments are complying with the parking standard. They then get built, they put a boom gate or a roller shutter on that parking. From what I understand, or suspect, is then they've got a certain amount of commercial offices in that development and retail space. They're then leasing those spaces out. And some of those are spaces which could be leased out with commercial offices. But if you're actually having a retail use there where you're going to encourage visitors to come and see you, like a medical center or a post office or a certain restaurant, how is it that those spots then become leasable spots? Like, so we need to determine, are they spots for the staff? So you can lease those spots out with the staff. Or should we be requiring more parking spots for visitors for the commercial spot that have to be made public? So then there's not this pressure on council to have to provide the on-street parking and then make changes for that. So, you know, that's really the underlying part of my issue. Why are these developments not? Maybe we need to change our parking code to say that you've now got to provide, you know, out of the 20 staff spots that you've got to provide in the 4,000 square meters commercial or whatever it is, you know, 10 of those or half of those have got to be visitor spots that are accessible by the public to drive in, and it's got to be open so they can actually visit the business. But there can't be spots that you know, it's just given to the developer for them to lease out as part of that spot and make funding. And I think that's the issue for me. Is there any other questions? So there's just a slight change. Did you get that change? Because I can't see it on the screen. Okay. So it's one as per part one. Our councillors, because we're just having a bit of a technical issue on getting it on the screen. Part two is that the general manager investigate council's VPA parking strategy policy and undertake a review if required. Is there any other questions? I'll put them in at all those in favour. Those against? Is there any objections? So I'll declare that carried unanimous. Okay. next item, councillors, is with regards to the tree planting program, which is the additional 500 trees. And I know Councillor Furno Cook's got a notice of motion, which we'll address. So this is a bit different though. The reason I raise this is twofold. One is there were some issues raised at the last council meeting with regards to the amount, the type of trees that were being planted. We have done heat maps. So we have done local government heat maps. I've since found out that we are putting in place 60% of those trees are natives, 40% are exotics. We have, and when we were going through this last program, we actually did sit down and actually plan it out. So there was a survey done of our streets. So for example, where there were streets that had existing tipuchinas or bottle brushes or gum trees, a similar type tree was then planted in that street. So, but we did part of the plan, and part of the intent of the program is not just to add an additional 500 trees, it was also, and to add more greening of the LGA, but it was to also add some color in the LGA. And there's no, and I don't shy away from that. There have been, the responses that I have received or the feedback I have received from residents has overwhelmingly been positive. I think I've had one email from a resident out of the many that we did receive that while she supported the program, obviously wanted them to be all natives. But that goes against the intent of what we're trying to achieve. So while we believe it's really important for our heat maps and our tree canopy across the LGA, I believe adding the 500 trees above and beyond that is a positive. So that's why I'm actually suggesting that we also incorporate in another 500 trees, which will take the total to 1,000. So once this 500 tree program is finished, we continue the program with another 500 trees across the LGA. And that, so we have a second round. So one, I put them in it that following the first round of the 500 trees planting program, the general manager investigate planting a further 500 trees, taking the total amount of trees planted to 1,000 trees across the LGA. Two, that the general manager incorporate the tree planting program in council's green action plan. Three, that the general manager review the DCP to include species of plants allowed and endorsed being both native and exotics, to both increase the canopy and beautify the area. And 4, that the general manager prepare a newsletter for the community dedicated to the environment and sustainability programs initiatives that council has run, is running, and will continue to run in the future. Any questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Look, it has been mentioned here that you started that something so-called green plan in 2009.
Yes.
And then it was reviewed in 2012.
Yes.
And then now we have proceeded with 500 plantation. So my first question is through you, Mr. Mayor, if you can enlighten me, what was that 2009 green plan was, because we are not aware of.
Well, the 2012, it's, well, since the 2012, it was supposed to come back up for review, and then we had the whole amalgamation issue come forward. So it's been put on hold. But I believe, and I can forward that to the general manager, I believe that the review of the Green Council has a Green Action Plan, which talks about a number of our Green Action policies, for example, like collecting rainwater, planting of trees, using recycle. Like, for example, one of our policies currently, which I think Council a couple of meetings ago endorsed, was a tender to actually add recycling bins to our existing public waste bins. So those type of issues. So in saying that, because of the amalgam, but I believe it's coming up for review in December 2020. I might add to the GM if he wants to add anything.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor. The original Green Action Plan, even though it was reviewed in 2012, still, I suppose, relates to topics that might not be maybe too relevant, even though they're still current. But they had like greenhouse. They mentioned, for example, a green fleet for vehicles of council, owned by council, and items like this. And so the review, the current review that the staff have commenced, will probably have more current topics, such as, for example, the use of rainwater for irrigation and other topics that the mayor just mentioned, including the increasing canopy and the urban heat that is very topical at the moment. I have Harry as well as Peter here on the meeting. If you guys want to add anything, please feel free to jump in. Harry?
Sorry, just unmute. Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. The original Green Action Plan was formulated in 2009 and was reviewed in 2012. As the General Manager has indicated, it is not just about trees, it's about a whole series of environmental initiatives that the Council has and does undertake. The Green Action Plan is still available through Council's website, so you can access it there, but there's two sort of aspects to it. There's a corporate aspect, which is what Council is doing as an organisation, what initiatives we've got. So all council buildings, for example, we look at energy savings, water savings, renewable energy. We also have policies for sustainable purchasing. We've got policies for sustainable events, sustainable workplaces, and also fleet management. So we're looking at moving away from petrol or diesel powered vehicles, possibly hybrid or electric vehicles moving down the track. So these things, they're individual plans, but they all fall under the Green Action Plan, which is sort of a more overarching policy so we can work from. It just sets council's aims and intents. There's also another aspect to it, the community. So the built environment, we have the LEP and the DCP covers a lot of environmental issues. When people are building, they are now required to comply with BASICS requirements, which is all about energy efficiency, water efficiency and ventilation within buildings. We've got the greening of Burwood, which is the Mayor's initiative about the tree planting. So that's been an ongoing process for many years. Public transport, promotion, public transport, bike paths, waste action plan, strategic waste, recycling, and even one down, love food, hate waste, which is all about saving food. So we're diverting a lot more from your red bin, and hopefully people will do the right thing. So so there is a lot of things, but as the general manager has also said, we are reviewing that currently, and we hope to present it up to council for consideration in the next month or two, probably by the end of December. Thank you. Any more questions? I'm happy to answer.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor
Fogle. Oh, yes, I don't know what's so amusing, but something's happening there.
Sorry?
Just a question through you, Mr. Mayor, to the general manager, to staff. When we look at the Green Action Plan, and that's great that it's coming up, will we start to look at targets? You know, like what are we aiming to? You know, what percentage of our fleet should be, and what are we aiming for energy savings? Rather than just motherhood statements, what are we kind of trying to get to?
Yep, General Manager.
Councillor, yes, most definitely. We're definitely going to have goals in the plan. So once it comes up, you'll most likely see the goals and the strategic objectives, but practical goals as well that we want to achieve.
Any other questions?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, may I request you that if I can have a copy of that 2009 plan and a review what you did, so it would be of a great help for us, so we can contribute when we go for December review, and the good work which you are doing about, you know, the present tree plantation. That's my first question. And the second is, you know, a lot of saplings which have been planted in our present drive, perhaps you must have also noticed that some of them are being vandalized.
Yes,
on some places. So what the, you know, general manager is, what steps are you taking so that at least the hard work which we are doing, actually the new saplings when are being planted, so it doesn't happen.
I'm going to hand over to the GM. I think we've planted so far 350 trees, and I think we've had about nine or 10 that have been vandalized or stolen. We suspect they've been stolen. Because they weren't broken, they were actually pulled out and taken away. So that's the view of the staff, I believe. I mean, I'll hand over to the general manager. There are some options we are looking at. Like, for example, we replanted the ones that were taken out. I think there was three in Orara Street, Croydon, which have been there now for a number of weeks. They've replanted those and they've been okay. But there are some other models that we might look at that other councils are using that are getting... So Canada Bay, for example, is going through a tree planting process at the moment, and they've had similar issues. Tommaso, did you want to add to that?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. No, the Mayor's right. Luckily, whilst we have heard about it and seen it, the percentage of trees that have been taken is very, very small. It's only about 10 out of 350 we've planted so far. So it's concerning, but not a worry, I guess. We are going to obviously... first instance, communicate with all the residents of that particular street, our compliance team, our community safety team, I should say. Our rangers are actually patrolling the streets and putting signs up, as well as talking to the residents to see if there's any witness. And then if situation continues in particular areas, we might be looking at installing mobile CCTV cameras or other security installation that might assist us in preventing this from occurring again. Every time this happens, though, councillors, just be aware, it is considered theft, and as such, it is reported to the police. So we're obviously alerted the local area command of this situation, and hopefully they'll assist us with their patrols as well.
And just on that, councillor, so I've just confirmed with the general manager that you... we'll email a copy of the existing Green Action Plan. And not that the Green Action Plan isn't great. It's due for a a review, which is coming up in December. And Councillor Fernow-Cook also has a motion that comes up that deals with a number of environmental issues as well. So in saying that, we've also got a number of other policies. Like, for example, earlier in the year, we signed up to a zero plastics to ocean initiative. So we've got the tree planting agreement. We've got other issues that might arise in a possible motion soon. So, you know, do we start putting separate sort of policies for each of these, or do we sort of start to create one umbrella? So I'll put them in it. If there's no other questions, councillors, I'll put them in it. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. There's also the Merrill Minute with regards to Build Council's response to the coronavirus September 2020, which we're asking for an extension of the existing minute. Is there any questions on that?
I suppose just maybe the cost, I think we have to keep going. The cost to date, and also, how active are the other chambers of commerce, like Burwood and Croydon Park? It says, you know, continues to liaise. Are they active in that space now?
We've got technically three chambers of commerce. With the cost to date, I think we can do that via a sort of a bit of a confidential workshop, if you like, or speak to the general manager who'd give you the figure. I don't want to sort of use that figure because I don't have the exact figure firstly in front of me. Plus, I think it might just be commercially sensitive at this stage. The other issue with regards to the chambers of commerce, we've had some contact with the Croydon Park Chamber of Commerce, but not as much. But we've got also a Chinese Chamber of Commerce, which has been very active in coming forward, which has been really good, because they now been able to, I think it's called the Asian Business Network, which now allows them to not just represent. It's given us an opportunity to now communicate with those shop owners, which we hadn't had in the past, which was difficult because of not just cultural but language issues as well. And with Lily joining the council team now, has made it also a lot more of an open dialogue. I think I'm meeting with the president of the Asian Business Network tomorrow, I think, to talk about Corona response and so forth. We're also talking about council's move towards a decision we had taken prior to Corona, which we're now moving forward with, which is shopfront windows and non-compliance with that. So, and we've had an approach, for example, which has been a stick and carrot approach. So while council has been serving notices, we've also got a grants program in place which allows council to provide 50% of the existing funding, which we're going to review as well, because we've got to come back via a report to council to talk about that existing policy and how it's worked. So in saying that, we want to have, during this downtime, I guess, during COVID, for shops to start thinking about bringing their shop fronts to comply with council's existing shop front policy. So many of those shops don't comply. It is going to cause some distress for some shop owners, but it can't be that stressful if council's providing you with a monetary grant to help you do it. It's just about doing it. So I don't think shops that are at the moment in COVID-19, unfortunately, are at a 100% capacity. So there is capacity now to sort of take a step back and work with council to improve the strip, because we're spending millions of dollars on upgrading the strip with new plants, a new landscaping, new trees. And when I last met with the Asian Business Chamber or Business Network, one of the things I actually said to them, it's like someone wearing a suit and going to a wedding with sand shoes. So if we don't get the businesses to participate in council's rejuvenation programs of improving the landscape on the street, it's really not going to improve the look of the strip. So they've been quite active in helping and supportive and working with us, yes. The other chamber, the Bellwood Chamber, I'm not sure. We have not had contact with them for quite a while now, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, so I haven't heard from them during this whole time. In saying that, we have, and I know the general manager in our continued contact with and briefings that I've received from the general manager, and he might want to add some comment with regards to businesses that council leases to operators. We've had some strong dialogue with them, or the general manager and staff have. And it's been good. So it's been open and honest, and we've been responding to that. We've also had, and I'm not sure if this has gone to councillors, we've had a request recently by one of the large sporting groups that uses our park to look at a review of fees, for example. So that's something that I flicked over to the general manager this afternoon to obviously investigate that and respond to that. Did you want to add anything, Tomas?
No, I think Mayor has summarised the approach. This report is simply just the continuation of what we set up back in March. Unfortunately, we're not out of the woods yet, and so it's just a mandate for us to continue on the Burwood Cares specifically and the support we're giving to both community and the businesses.
Councillors, just quickly before I put the minute, any feedback that you wanted to give on that Build Cares program? Have you been hearing feedback, any ideas, any views that you might think that we should be addressing, Councillor Furnow-Cook?
No, I think it's been well received at the moment, and you know, people are looking forward to the library, you know, the opening of the library. I think, as you know, the Learn to Swim, and when Enfield opens up properly, that will be, I think there's a feeling of we want to get back to normal life somehow. I know we've got Melbourne, but I think there's that feeling. So I think it's been well received, and people haven't pushed back at all about things that are shut down. I think there's a general understanding about why.
Okay, thanks for that feedback, Councillor. Councillor Crichton?
Thank you. Can I just flag perhaps an opportunity for us to look at, which I know other councils have done in our immediate area, of having one of our health inspectors actually designated as the coronavirus community liaison officer? It may be something that we could get some benefit out of, and it may be useful for businesses just to have one key contact here at council and really build up the expertise in one officer. So there may be some benefit, maybe worthwhile having a look at.
Yep, that's a good point. Councillor, thanks for that, Councillor Crichton. I think we technically have John Mills, who's sort of doing that in an unofficial role, So can I just ask, put that as a question to the general manager, because technically, if we want that as a request, we should put that as part of the minute to be endorsed. But I might ask the general manager to respond to that, because I think we might have that system in place, I suspect.
I might get Harry also to contribute, but our health inspectors, we have two that regularly visit shops and particularly the restaurants, have been trained on how to provide COVID safe information. And they actually travel with some information flyers and other resources that we've developed, including translated documentation that we can provide. Wherever necessary, we also rope in Lily, as the Mayor mentioned before, to provide translation on the spot. We are partnering the health inspectors together with community safety and the rangers, as well as the New South Wales Food Authority, are conducting joint inspections, particularly on food related businesses. And so they provide both education as well as enforcement when they find pretty serious non-compliances. But I'm not sure, Harry, did you want to add anything in relation to the procedures followed by the guys?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Both our health inspectors are out in the field. We have been conferring with the New South Wales Health Department and also the Food Authority of New South Wales. So they're very familiar with the requirements and the guidelines. We have been carrying out what's called COVID-19 safety inspections of a lot of the shops. There are a few agencies involved now, including New South Wales Licensing Police and also Safe Work Australia. But our two EHOs impart as much as they can, but they aren't able to enforce the public health orders. They can only guide and advise. And if we do find any serious breaches or non-compliances with that, we can refer them either to Safe Work New South Wales or New South Wales Health, and they will take up stricter follow-up action if required. So as far as having a specific person, I suppose both of them are fairly well versed in the requirements, and they're out there and talking to all the shopkeepers as they do their inspections, their normal inspections.
So my question is just to follow on from Councillor Crichton's suggestion. So currently we have two people that can be contacted. Is that correct? Are they the two go-to people?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay. So you're happy with that, Councillor? Okay. Do you, and just a follow-on question to either the General Manager or yourself, Harry, would it be a best practice procedure to have one or just keep the current system, and is that working? I think what the intent is from what Councillor Crichton raised is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is so there's not a level of confusion. It's a customer service type, one person to contact, that's who I know I can go to, you know, whether it be John or one of the other staff members, they then direct me to the relevant spot. It's like when you get to the council chamber now, or customer service, I should say, you've got someone to greet you there and sort of directs you in the right direction. So is that what is technically happening, Tomasa?
Yes, so I would say that if anything that's Burwood Cares business related, so general queries in relation to, for example, the physical distancing within the shops or other requirements, if they get submitted through the Burwood Cares, which is how we are currently capturing survey responses and the lot, they actually travel through a team that's made up of currently Lily, which is a community engagement officer, as well as Miriam, who is from our community development team, who is responsible for the Build Cares implementation. So then from there, they prepare and distribute resources in multiple languages to various businesses. If it's food related, particularly food related, so restaurants and as such, then obviously we are utilising the services of our health inspectors as a way to obviously create an outreach program. But I would say that if I take on the question from Councillor Crichton, we could investigate the creation of the one channel. So if, for example, our customer service officers receive an inquiry in relation to COVID safe in general, that is directed to a specific officer.
Yeah.
Okay, does that answer the question? Any other questions, councillors? I'll put them in. Are all those in favour? Those against? Anyone against? So I'll declare that carried unanimous. The next item is Councillor Crichton's item of notice of motion 5/20, which is the street name signage board LGA. So I believe you've got to move it and then we get a seconder before she speaks, or she can speak to the item.
No, happy to second.
Okay, so it's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Fanocook.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors and staff. Throughout our rebranding project last year, we talked a lot about the importance of our six suburbs connecting as one Burwood. With this in mind, I believe all of our community touch points should be delivered to a high and consistent standard across our local government boundaries. But by now having three versions of street blades, there is a definite visual disconnect. This issue may sound mundane, but actually it's crucial in building an inclusive community. Let's not lose sight of the fact that 32% of our residents have arrived in Burwood from overseas since 2011, and that 57% of our residents were born overseas. So with English as a second language for many who live here, there would be a heavy reliance on our street signs, and we have an obligation to present these signs in a legible condition and to ensure that they're easy and clear to decipher. On spending a lot of time over the last few weeks walking our local streets, another issue has come up, so I'd actually like to add a point three to my motion, and it's become really apparent to me that we have an abundance of blue and white advisory directional signage in place, and it seems to have been an old policy where a few years ago businesses could pay a one-off fee of $224 to have a directional pointer attached to our poles, and they're blue and white, and so attached to our poles, but pointing to their business location. So at the moment, we seem to have a deficiency of pointers highlighting our beautiful community assets, but an abundance of pointers showcasing childcare centres and even electrical companies. So if I could add a point three to my motion today, and that would be that the general manager audits and assesses our blue and white advisory signage with the aim of eliminating signage for businesses where appropriate. Thank you.
So that's just so just to direct the correct wording again, just so our minute takers can get that. So just a bit slower. Sorry, Councillor.
That the general manager audits and assesses our blue and white advisory signage.
Would I suggest blue and white advisory / directional signage or
yeah, no, well, they're pointers. Yeah,
or advertising, like
promotion.
Okay.
Promotion.
Yeah, so blue and white. Sorry, keep going.
With the aim of eliminating signage for businesses where appropriate.
Okay.
I did see one just yesterday, which was appointed to build RSL, and like I'd like that one to stay. I think that's important, but not for...
Well, some of the, I guess, just adding to that. So it's been seconded by Councillor Furno Cook.
Yeah, I accept the amendment.
Happy with the
Thank
amendment?
Thank you.
Okay. The variation, sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you wish to speak any further, Councillor?
Can I close it just by saying that I do suggest that we mock up our new street blade design and check, because we've never used it before, that it is inclusive, accessible, informative and engaging. And let's see how it reads when you pair it with a directional sign to one of our parks, because I really think we need to address that as well. Also, let's consider all of our council signage as one package so that all the layers tie in together in a seamless and cohesive way across our entire LGA. And let's really maximise all the beautiful design elements that are available under our new council branding. And I do understand that staff are currently looking into some of these aspects, and I really look forward to their report. And I suppose my intention of all of this also is that to me, we still have a lot of untapped opportunity and potential right here in our local government area. And I would love to celebrate a great location like Walsh Avenue, which is actually in one of the photos, the old photo in my attachment. And because it's actually from a location, this location of Walsh Avenue, which is down off Georges River Road, very close to Coronation Parade, which is so untapped at the moment, because from Walsh Avenue, you actually access Walsh Avenue Reserve, which has a great playground. But also importantly for our residents, you access the Cooks River Cycleway. And although we may not have many cycle paths right here in Burwood, by dropping onto that cycle path, it actually unlocks some 32 kilometres of cycle paths for our residents. And I think that's a really key asset that we're not realising at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, just before I hand over to Councillor Furno Cook, can I just ask for a slight amendment to our minute takers? Rather than have with the aim of eliminating signage, like phasing out, it's just a better word, I think.
Yeah, okay.
You in agreement with that, Councillor Furno Cook?
I agree.
Councillor Crichton. So with the aim of phasing out signage clutter for businesses where appropriate. So can we make that slight change? Yes. So the change be that directional signage with the aim of, rather than eliminating, be phasing out, because we might have some contractual obligations as well, where we might, as they come up, where we might delete those. Councillor Fernacook, you happy with that? Now, Councillor Fernacook, you wish to speak as a seconder?
Thank you.
No. Any speakers against? I'll put the motion then. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously.
Yay.
Okay. Next item is item notice of motion 6/20, which is investigate the development, which is by Councillor Fernacook, development of the Burwood Urban Ecological Strategic Plan. Councillor Fernacook.
I'd just like to make an amendment to that and then seek a seconder. But just after speaking to staff and also what the Mayor was talking about earlier on today and through his motion, for one, I'd like to add at the end of that and integrate it into the newly revised Green Action Plan. That's so that we don't have lots of plans and the Green Action Plan. And then I think to delete five, because I don't think that's necessary if it's part of the Green Action Plan.
Okay, do I have a seconder?
Yeah, I'll second that.
So, Councillor Del Duca, okay. Councillor Fernacook, you wish to speak?
Look, this is just...
Can I just make a quick suggestion before, or do you want to put the motion first?
No.
Do you want to speak? No. I was going to suggest, because you're 2, 3, 4, 5. No. Leave them, because they're raising issues that we want looked at. So I would probably suggest one read that the general manager as part of the review of council's Green Action Plan, investigate items 2, 3, 4, and 5 as part of that review to incorporating.
It's the same. Yeah, it's just...
What's your one read? The general manager investigate the development of an urban... it's just still referring to two plans. In saying that, the Green Action Plan, I think one of the reviews that might be suggested is an actual name change. So it could...
Speak to
the motion, and then we'll get some wording.
Proposed, revised.
You go ahead and speak, and then I'll get the second.
Okay, this is more complimentary, I suppose, to the Mayor's initiative, and also it's a gap in the Green Action Plan at the moment, as Harry was saying. It's got, you know, about fleet management, etc. This is more about diversity and resilient urban environments, and particularly looking at things like our fauna. So we're taking good action on our flora, on our trees, and that's been really great initiative, but we don't quite have that other bit about what have we got and what are our what is our starting point? What have we lost, and what do we want to protect, and what do we want to enhance? As I said in my motion, you know, I've got in the preamble, I've got a powerful owl. Someone else has got a brown striped marsh. It's actually, we've got no bees, so that's obviously a problem for pollination. But exotics are actually fantastic. The flowering plants are actually fantastic for both the smaller birds, which are getting pummeled by the bigger birds at the moment, the natives. So the second part was the citizen science. If we have something in the Green Action Plan, then we can apply for lots of grants, because citizen science is quite popular at the moment. And there are a number of grants available. Also, we can engage in schools. So from that initiative about having a newsletter and our programs, we could look at a bio, it's called Bio Blitz, where you look at an area and say now the Cooks River or Flockhart Park and get community members to do a bio blitz, you know, check what's there. So it's about engaging the community as well. And there's also, it's not a reliance, it's a resilience grant. And so there's quite a few grants around, and I think we do need to have some sort of, when you apply for a grant, you need some sort of kind of framework to say, well, this is why we're doing it. We're wanting to do an audit and as part of this plan. The first one, I think the mayor's going to say about the strategic plan and the resilience plan, they were just overarching ones. So I don't know where, I think it should be in the Green Action Plan, because that sounds like the right place for it, along with the tree canopy and the greening plan.
I think we might just have some questions. Did you want to speak first, Councillor Del Duca, or should we go to questions?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, questions? Oh, I've just got a question. And can I just suggest possibly a bit of a change in that part one? And I mean, if you want to accept it or not, it's up to you, Councillor. That as part of the review of Council's existing Green Action Plan, that the General Manager investigate points or slash items 2, 3, 4 below.
Yep.
So it's just simpler.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're still considering the citizen science. You're still looking at the partnering with vocational tertiary. You're still looking at those items, but it's part of that review process.
Yeah. And
which I believe is due in December anyway, I think.
Yeah. And lots of colleges, and particularly, UTS has environmental science, and they're always after, you know, projects to do for the students to undertake. So that's a good engagement. I mean, even with our local schools.
I just have so my question is, and the only concern I have is while I support the principle of the motion, is how far you could take this and what's the intent? So is that something to be investigated by staff, or are we looking at taking it to the nth degree? An nth degree could mean, for example, technically, if we create you might create a biodiversity zone around one of our parks, which technically means people that are around that park can't, how far are we taking it? Like, this is, because then it affects people's livelihoods. It then could mean that, you know, they can't remove a tree because there's a certain species of in that park, or it might mean that they can't get rid of a pergola or rebuild because they're in the zone of bios. Like, this is where I think we just got to set boundaries up front so staff don't sort of go away and I guess sort of maybe come back with something that might be totally out of the ordinary, which is something that I couldn't then support. That's my issue.
This is just about council's assets. It's not about private assets. So it's not about development controls. And biodiversity is just about how we interact with our urban environment. There is a guide that is already developed, and there's also Canada Bay's got it. City of Sydney have one. Ku-ring-gai's got one. Hornsby's got one. So there's lots of templates there. It's not about not doing things. It's about knowing what you've got and what you're aiming for, and engaging the community so you've got a resilient urban environment that has biodiversity principles. So biodiversity principles don't mean that you can't, you know, it's not all about one species or whatever.
No, I'm aware of that. It's just ensuring that because there are sort of state government and federal government acts, for example, that protect endangered species. And I'm not talking about whether it's the right or wrong policy. I'm just talking about how far do we want to take the policy? Councillor Del Duca?
That's part of the investigation process. I think it's to look at all these things and to understand the risks as well. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to ever support anything that I think is having an adverse effect on residents or on local businesses thriving in the area. It's just about, I guess at the moment, getting an understanding of, you know, what that could involve. And I think, I mean, if that appeases and if Councillor Ferno Cook is happy with it, you might also add a point just to, you know, understand, you know, what risks, if any, this might have. But I think at the moment, and these are all very valid points, and this is really just understanding, you know, what is capable, looking at what other councils are doing, and seeing if that is going to be a good fit for Burwood or not. But yeah, certainly I would agree that, you know, we wouldn't be doing anything that is infringing landowner rights or, you know, opportunities for people in the area. It's just really about understanding what capacity there is. And if that leads, you know, to an ability for, you know, Burwood to, you know, promote itself through, you know, vocational and tertiary institutions, amongst other things, that would only be a positive for the area.
I'm not allowed to speak. I've learned that. I can only speak once.
I can hear you. So while I'm just considering, while councillors are still considering if they want to ask a question, that point one is to read that the as part of the review of council's existing green action plan, that the general manager investigates 2, 3, 4 below. And did you make a suggestion, Councillor Del Duca, where you? But I think in part of the analysis of investigating that, they will look at the pros and cons of both.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it needs to be added. I mean, if you wanted the extra comfort, you could, but I don't think it does. I think that's the investigation speaks to that.
I don't have an issue with that. Councillor Ferno Cook, are you happy with the reading of that?
Yeah, look,
you're too slow. You've got to delete. Sorry, Councillor, I'll just hold you one sec. So you've got to delete the rest. So as part of the review of Council's Green Action, part of the current review, I would add current review, of Council's existing Green Action Plan, that the General Manager investigates points 2, 3, and 4 below. And then you can delete. You happy with that, Councillor? And then you delete the rest.
Well, you can't delete the points because then...
No, not the points, the rest of point one. So sorry,
point two. Yeah, definitely. That's cool.
That's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that.
Okay. So that amendment's been accepted by Councillor Ferno Cook. Is that correct, Councillor, for the record? And Councillor Del Duca?
Del Duca, yeah.
So are we okay with that process now? Yes? Okay, just checking that we're following the correct procedure. Is there any other questions, councillors? Councillor Crichton?
Thank you. Can I just ask, Mr. Mayor, so just with the change, with that Green Action Plan, it comes back as part of our community strategic plan, the healthy and sustainable environment fits in there?
I might just ask the general manager.
Like, where does it all fit together now?
Councillors, there might be... So the Green Action Plan is a standalone document that, however, we will have most definitely references to the Green Action Plan in our community strategic plan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it might mean now getting all these policies that sort of fit under that green umbrella into the one umbrella. And it might mean that we might even look at a name change. I'm not sure. Is that something that... Just sort of look at what other councils are using.
Yeah, well, definitely. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, as part of the research into best practice, the staff would most definitely look at other councils, and if they identify a more current or relatable name, and we'll definitely submit that for approval.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Any other councillors wish to? So the motion's been put by Councillor Ferdo Cork, seconded by Councillor Del Duca. If there's no speakers against, then I think there's no right of reply, Councillor Ferdo Cork. Did you want to add something before I put the motion?
No.
Okay. So is there any speakers against? There being no speakers against them, is that if there's a speaker against, I need a show of hands only because Councillor Ferdinand Cook would then be entitled to a right of reply. There's being no speakers against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare the motion carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor, for your motion. Now, the next item is general business, which is item 94/20, which I might hand over to the general manager. Who's the returning officer for the election of a deputy mayor. And there's a recommendation there. So we need to move, I believe, the recommendation first, then I hand over to you to hold the ballot. So do I have a mover for the recommendation on page 20? Item 94/20. So it's been moved by Councillor Ferdinand Cook, seconded by Councillor Del Duca. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. I'll now hand over to the General Manager to hold the election of the position of Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors. I'd like to inform you that as of tonight, I've received one valid nomination form for the election of the Deputy Mayor, supported by two councillors and accepted by the nominee. And that nomination is for Councillor Ernest Chen. So with that... Okay, are there any further nominations being tabled right now?
George?
As such, given that this is the only nomination we received and it's supported and it's valid, I declare Councillor Ernest Chen as our Deputy Mayor for the next 12 months up until the local government elections. Congratulations, Councillor. And hand over to the Mayor now.
thank you to the General Manager. Thank you to Councillor Manor for his service for the last 2 years, I think. So I think we had Councillor Ferdinand Cook for a couple of years and now Councillor Manor and now welcome to Councillor Chan and I look forward to working with you. Did you want to say a few words outgoing that? So Councillor Chan, did you want to say a few words?
I'm just hoping that I could follow the footsteps of my predecessors and do a reasonable job.
Well, thank you,
Thank you for the nominations and the people who supported me.
Thank you, Councillor. So that was a unanimous decision. Next item is 95/20. Is there... can I suggest we've sort of been doing this, that no one's contacted me for any changes. Has anyone got any changes? So can we get Councillor?
It's not necessarily a change, but it's an addition. I'm sad that my 150-year committee's not included on the list.
Oh, yes.
Which has been established a few meetings ago. And I'm very excited about that.
No, we won't talk about the committee just yet. We're just asking, should it not be on the list? Oh, I think the committee's in place and I think they said there was a budget, but I think the question is, why isn't it not showing? And I think it had a chair and delegate on there as well. Yeah. Can I just also suggest that the deputy mayor obviously is on a number of committees, which now means that deputy mayor title goes to obviously Councillor Chan, which would mean that Councillor Chan now is representative on those committees unless he so states a delegate to attend. So you just might need to update that. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour for those committees, 95/20. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 96/20, which is the emergency administrative provisions of COVID-19. Which is on page 29. So it's been moved by Councillor Furneaux Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Any speakers? For, against? No speakers for, against. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 97/20, which is the Everton Road Stratford short-term parking. Any questions? I've got some questions. Any questions first before? Yeah, Councillor Crichton.
I still feel a little bit uncomfortable with this one. If you remember from our previous meeting, this came out in the Traffic Committee report, and it's actually an additional post office really for Stratford. I note that on that side of Stratford Station, there was an existing mail zone, but we have picked up the post office that I think used to be in Stratford Plaza. So now it's come into our local government area. And I just think we're still being really generous with the parking provisions. I understand that there's a need for the mail trucks to come in and out, but there are a couple of points I'd like to point out. And the first is that if it's meant to be such an important location, there's no express post letterbox on the street for residents. So that's
So that's a question, or I just
so where is that? Is it really a full working post office? Because when I visited there a couple of weeks ago, they had a sign on the door suggesting from the 4th of April that they don't open on a Saturday due to a lack of demand. And yet, to me, we're allocating all this prime parking, which is right alongside the Whelan Hotel, down the road from Strathfield Private Hospital, and immediately opposite Strathfield Station.
Okay, I might hand over to the General Manager to answer that. And my follow-on question to that is, we're now losing two, obviously, metered parking spots as well. What does that mean?
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I might hand over to George or John. We've got John on the line. He was involved in all the studies.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think a couple of things here. I really appreciate the Mayor's concern to review the VPA. What has just happened?
Now go ahead, John.
Something's just blacked my whole screen. Oh, there we go. Sorry, okay. I thought I lost everybody.
Mate. We don't need to see you. We just need to hear you.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I'll turn my screen off. Yeah. So as I was saying, I understand fully the idea to sort of review the VPA parking arrangements for developments, and that's fine. I think one thing we need to just understand is with the mail zone itself, the mailman must park, or the mail van and the mailman must park in front of the new post box, because they're not going to drive onto the property and park at the back and then walk around and empty
the I don't think the mail zone is the disputed area, John. I think it's the actual two proposed short-term parking.
Okay, so...
So the mail zone, I think council's supportive of, which we understand because that's been relocated. I think the question is, and I think this is something, I had a bit of a discussion with how other councillors felt when we were walking up to the office. And I guess the question is, what happens if next door we get another business now, another dry cleaner or a childcare centre says, oh, well, I need a drop-off zone too. Okay. And council now is starting to make ad hoc changes to its parking strategy. It's not council's role to be providing parking to your customers. It's your role as a business. We facilitate parking and they can use our parking, whether they be a resident or a visitor. So
yeah, that's understood.
That's my question and my issue. Yeah. And I think that's the same question.
Well, I can give you some examples. We have modified the existing on-street parking in front of some businesses. There was a dry cleaner on Burwood Road that didn't sort of found that it'd be a benefit to have quarter or 10 minute parking to suit their business. So we have done some modifications, but these came through as a request from yourself, Mr. Mayor.
Not me, not the direct cleaner, no. That's wrong.
Definitely. Well, came through from one of the councillors. I can tell you that. Okay.
Because I don't support, and I've raised issue with this previously with regards to the childcare that was proposed when they were looking at changes for Mary Street, for example. Like businesses, when they come into a specific area or a new area, they've got to look at how their business could function within that existing area. Shouldn't be council's response. And I'm not having a go at the staff or traffic. I'm just saying we've got to take a bit more of a unified approach. And one of the things I was going to actually suggest is that we review. Medical centres are different because the zones that I requested outside of medical centres are no parking zones, which are drop-off zones, not 10-minute parking zones. If you want to create another drop-off zone here, and you think that that's facilitated, that's different to a 10-minute zone. If we're going to start creating short-term 10-minute spots, we should possibly review our parking strategy then to say, well, we should have some of those in Burwood, we should have some of those in Croydon, some of those in... Do you understand what I'm saying? And make it part of the strategy. My only concern is if we're starting to support these, that means every request we get, like the dry cleaners, which we should review as well, every request we get is then how do we then answer that? It just it goes away from a unified strategy, I think.
Well, the the previous mail zone was 6 meters long and it was at the back of the taxi zone on the southern side. And so because this one squeezed in between 2P parking and the current mail vans are a lot longer than they used to be, we had to make it 8 meters. So you haven't lost two spots, it's a slightly bigger than standard spot. But it is a requirement, and it was a request from the Australia Post who moved the post box from the southern side to the northern side of the road. So it's it just happens to be in front of the post office. That's what
Okay, fair enough. And it might mean... is from the actual post office or from Australia Post?
They're Australia Post because they've relocated the post box, and recently they've done. We asked them to relocate a post box in front of, you know, where the hotel is on Burwood Road, the new hotel, and we rejigged some of the parking through there. Australia Post were happy for us in that particular case, I think, to relocate the post box to Merilla Street, just south of Merilla Street. So we do try and work with Australia Post. They're a federal, you know, government body, so we've kind of
Request is actually from Australia Post, not the post office.
Because so they control the mailbox. The post office might have post office boxes inside, but it's not there for the post office. For people, you're not allowed to pull up and walk into the post office and do your business. That's not what it's there for.
So my next question is then, for example, say we get next door that eventually, for example, the pub goes there and someone comes in and wants to open, for example, a childcare centre. And they now say, well, you know, I need a kiss and ride for, how do we then, for the drop off of kids, how do we then treat that?
Well, we'd hope that the development itself had parking on site.
What if it isn't a redevelopment? What if they're reconverting or refurbishing the pub, for example?
Well, if they're short on parking for a specific use, then they may have to contribute to council.
I'm not talking about parking. I'm talking about a drop-off zone.
Yeah, well, from memory, I don't think we've done it very often in Burwood where we've provided drop-off on the street for something like that. It has happened once or twice at another council I've worked at. But in this, I can't remember it. I could be corrected. My memory's going a bit and I'm getting old, but I don't remember doing something like that in Burwood in recent times anyway. So definitely Australia Post, this request came through them. And so we're trying to facilitate that, similar to how we would if Sydney Buses or State Transit asked us to lengthen a bus zone because of the new, you know, bendy buses or elongated buses that they have. So we try and accommodate to make that facility work as best and as safe as possible. And that's what we've tried to do here.
It's just that the report sort of suggests that the request was made via the post office.
No, it says there, following the opening of the post office, council received a request from Australia Post for the mail zone.
What page are you on,
to John? Facilitate. Well, I'm just reading the report on, what would it be? It's page 1 of 3. I've just opened it up in Info Council.
So do we lose any of the 2p part? My next question
No, because you get the same, the one you've lost on the side now where it is, you get it back on the other side. Net loss of 0. It just happens
that's
to
for
be
the mails, that, that's for the mail yeah. zone. What about the 10-minute short-term parking zone? So I know you said the mail zone across the road is 8 meters.
Yeah. So the mail zone, there's no change.
So when the mailbox was across the road and it was a mail zone, how were people dropping off their mail there? There was no 10-minute zone, was there?
No, there wasn't.
My other issue is what happens with 10 minutes is more than dropping off a letter, for example. My point is it then means people stop there, get out, go to the post office, get held up in the post office thinking they're there for 10 minutes. One of our parking officers walks past and they get infringed. So it starts to create problems too from that perspective. And then we start getting requests or letters sent in of complaint that, I was in the post office, they took longer than it should have been. I've now been infringed. And it creates an issue because then it looks like we're trying to revenue raise from infringing. So I'm not sure if it works. Maybe we do it on a 6-month trial.
Well, the thing with the 10-minute, other people could use it to do, like, you could pull up there yourself and walk down around the corner and get some takeaway. So it happens to be in front there, but it doesn't say 10-minute parking for Australia Post users.
I know that. And the other issue is but the businesses, the character of the businesses that are there, are all pretty much long term. If you actually look at what businesses are there, they're all restaurants, takeaways. So you'd get to be there long. There was proposed parking that we put in, short-term parking in the Paisley Street car park. Is that 10 or 15 minutes? I think we created a couple of spots there.
Yeah, it's a bit further away, I suppose.
No. I'm not talking about that.
Consistency. I'm trying to think.
My question is, do we have 10-minute spots elsewhere, or should we look at 15-minute spots?
No, we've put some 10-minute spots in because even if a ranger walks past, you've pulled up, you're going to get 15 anyway at best, even a bit more, because unless the ranger happens to be standing there as soon as you pull in, you always get a bit of grace. So
no, I know that, but in saying that is okay. So maybe we'll
do it as a trial. Why don't you put it forward as a trial? If it becomes a real issue, we'll revert it back to how it was.
I think we should need a trial, and then I might ask a question without notice. Or one of the councillors can.
Okay.
That when was the last time? It's okay. Don't worry. I'll raise it via an email to you, but I'll put it on public knowledge for the councillors that we maybe need to review this type of approach. That's all.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
No.
No problem.
No. We can move forward with a trial for the 10-minute spots. Proceed with the mail zone. Do I have a mover for that? Yeah. Do I have a mover for that amendment? So it's been moved by Councillor Crichton that council improve the installation of 2 10-minute parking from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to
Saturday.
For a trial, a parking space on the northern side of Edmonton Road for a length of 12 months as per the plan in the report and the recommendation of the Build Local Traffic Committee. For a trial period of 6 months, John?
Yeah, 12? six months. Because otherwise it gets too long.
Do I have a seconder?
Yeah.
So it's been seconded by Councillor Mann. Did you wish to speak? Anyone else wish to speak? Seconder wish to speak? I might just get you to hold one.
can't hear.
So it's been moved by Councillor Crine, seconded by Councillor Matter. Any speakers against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. I just want to clarify something. Sorry, just to go back one item to the item of the actual council committees, which is item 95/20. I just noticed there when we were looking through the minutes that there was I think it was more a question as why it wasn't listed on there. It should be listed on there formally as part of it because it's a formal council committee anyway. So I don't think you can request, sorry, we're just talking about, for councillors and their knowledge, the issue that was raised by Councillor Crichton, read the 150 Burwood Council Anniversary Committee. I think that, am I correct, Councillor, that was more of a question why it wasn't added? I don't think you need a motion to add that because it's a formal committee. It should be, it's already set up. It's just, I think her question, it was just a question, why is it not on the list? Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's not included as a committee. Okay, and that's for the purposes of the minutes. That's all. It doesn't technically mean that the committee does not. I think that committee exists. The only problem is I've got a principal issue of going back on a motion to add something when technically it's been adopted and start again. Yeah, no, look, I don't think it's important enough to do that. I think it was more a question. Yeah, I think it was just a question as to why it wasn't added on there, that's all. Which I think point's been taken. So the committee does exist. And I'm sure in future when we, or when we update our committees list, it will be added on there, that's all. So does that clarify things? Are you happy with that? Are you happy with that? Yeah, okay. So that item, last item of Everton Road has been adopted. Next item is item 98/20, which is the adoption of the generic plan of management for parks. Do I have any questions? That was moved by Councillor Manor. It was seconded by Councillor Furno Cook.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Dixit has a question.
Yes.
Councillor?
Question is, you know, this generic plan actually covers the small 23 parks and the specific 6 parks are not mentioned or that. So maybe, I mean, through you, Mr. Mayor, are there
Which parks are they? Weren't mentioned.
Look, there are 23 parks. These are small parks which are mentioned here, like Burwood Park and
yes. You know,
the parks. They are not included in that.
Okay, I might just forward that to the general manager. I think it's just dealing with the generic small parks. Am I correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. But John is on the line once again. Do you want to just give us a bit more background on this one, John?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The other parks that Councillor Dixit has mentioned, they have their own plans of management because they're much larger, like Burwood Park, Henley Park, Wongle Park, those ones. So we're trying to encapsulate all the smaller parks and reserves into this generic plan of management for parks. And although it's mentioned in here that there is a dog off leash area in Burwood Park, we just wanted, we had to update this one to include Sanders Reserve to have a fenced dog off leash area. Thank you.
Does that help answer that, Councillor Dixit? Councillor Dixit, I might just unmute you.
I can't hear him.
Just unmute, sorry. Sorry, councillors, what I'm doing is just putting councillors on mute when you're not speaking so we don't get feedback, that's all. So.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I wanted to know the reasons why those parks are not being included in that. I understand there are specific plant management for them.
Okay, General Manager, I think John sort of answered that, Councillor, where he said that this is more to do with a planner management. They've got their own planner management, but are you saying there should be some type of reference to these parks as well as the six other parks? Maybe there should be a section in there. I'm not sure. General Manager or John Inglese?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I think because the other parks have such a diverse range of activities. Some have passive and active recreations. Some of them have leases, like Burwood Park has leases. It has Crown land. So each of the larger parks' plans of management is probably 150 pages compared to all of these bundled into to one. So
I understand that, John. And I think Councillor Dixit's question is, why is there not reference of those parks made in this plan of management anyway? And it might be in the introduction somewhere where you might suggest...
Look, from memory, maybe it's in the back somewhere I'd have to go back and double check. I haven't read it cover to cover recently. I only read the amendments.
Councillor, did you want to add something?
Mr. Mayor, there is a sentence there. I can.
What page, Councillor?
It is on page 6, and it's 2.1 dot point, you know. There is a sentence there which states that. But so my
2.1, Councillor, 2.1.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
There is a sentence which mentions the remaining six.
Yes. Yes.
Specific plans of management. But my simple question is either you could have, you know, mentioned this at the title itself, excluding these six parks, or put an asterisk and then say because of the specific plan of management, we are not including. So the motion which you are getting adoption of, so it gives a misconvey the meaning, you know. That's my...
Okay. John, did you want to respond to
that? Yeah, well, I suppose without having to put the whole thing back out on public exhibition again, I think maybe we'll take on board Councillor Dixit's comments and see if we can put a paragraph or something in that just references all the other parks that have their own plans of management. Maybe we can do something like that. Maybe in the recommendation here, you could say that council adopts this one and adds a reference to the other plans of management for specific parks in the heading or something, in the appendices or something like that. Because yeah, I don't want to put it all back out again.
I don't think that's a suggestion. I think... The issue is, if someone was to pick up the generic plan of management for parks and looks at this, it sort of refers to those parks. And I can understand where we're going with it, John. I think it just sort of suggests that maybe these are the only parks we have. And I think what the councillor's saying is,
okay,
how can we not wrap it all up into at least one bundle where...
Well, we can reference the other parks that have their own specific ones in this, just in case someone reads this.
So the amendment, can I suggest, which was moved, the motion was moved by Councillor Manno, am I correct? And was that seconded by Councillor Fennell-Cook, or was that the previous motion? Do I have a mover and seconder for this yet or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so can I suggest then that we go down to the resolution, and the council adopts the final generic plan of management parks attachment 1, superseding the previous generic plan of management parks adopted. And part 2, that as part of the generic plan of management, council also make reference to the other
specific plans of management.
Six parks which have their own standalone specific
plan of management.
Plans of management. Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
Are you happy with that? Councillor Dixit, is that sort of satisfy your intent? And I think we could sort of include that in, yeah. Councillor Dixit, are you happy with, does that sort of... Councillor Manor, are you happy with that amendment? Councillor Fernow-Cook, are you happy with that amendment? Okay. Any speakers against? It's been moved, seconded. Any speakers for, against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Dixon, I couldn't hear if you had any issues. So were you okay? I just want to confirm before I put it, so it doesn't look like I've cut you off. So you're happy with that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, that's fine. Just only add to that, they can put an asterisk on that, and in the footnote, they can mention the six park at the footnote, because these are our main six parks.
Yes. Okay. You know, so can I just suggest we don't, rather than footnote or so forth, because it might even be that it gets included in the introduction. So can I suggest that we sort of, we leave that for staff to sort of make reference?
Yes.
Yep. Are you okay? Okay. So it's been putting them.
My request is it possible to have an access to have those six parks plan of management for me, if anybody can help me for that? For you,
Yep. That's noted. I think we'll raise that. So I'll just get the general manager to make a note to email those to you. So it's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Fernando Cook. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 99/20, councillors, which is the renaming of Hornsey Lane, which is on page 104. There was just the general manager has spoken to me, and we were just talking about a proposed slight amendment to the recommendation. I might just amend it.
I'm happy to move it depending on the amendment and speak to it.
So the recommendation is, one, that council officers proceed with the opportunity to renaming Hornsey Lane. Two, that council officers consult with the Geographical Names Board on process. I just thought of something too, Councillor. I might, if you're happy, Councillor Fernow-Cook, I might get someone else to move and second, only because you sort of declared, not that you're removing yourself, but it might be a bit safer.
Yep.
Because I just thought of that, because I just saw Geographical Names Board.
And you're
on that. Happy to move that.
So it's been moved by Councillor Delica, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Three, read that the council approves the community engagement rather than event, it's a campaign on potential names for Hornsey Lane. And that four, that a report is brought back to council on the outcomes of the community engagement campaign via a confidential item. Because obviously if we're going to unveil the name or you have an event, it then might mean that you don't want that to be
revealed.
But that's something we can decide on when the item next comes to council. So are you happy with that change, Councillor Del Duca? Councillor Crichton? I might just read it again. So, Councillor Crichton?
I just wanted to ask whether you'd like to consider a time frame. Is there an urgency to rename the lane?
No, okay. I think we've received some funding from the state government. Thank you to the New South Wales state government. I think it was $100,000 from the Department of Planning. Department of Planning, was it? The $130,000 to actually provide a campaign for the renaming of Hornsey Lane. It comes under, I think, the Premier about 6 months ago came out, or it might have been 12 months ago, about public squares placements. I think you might have remembered there might have been some type of an announcement on that, councillors. And what's happened is we were successful in receiving some grant funding as part of that program in creating new public spaces. So thanks to obviously the Premier and the state government and the Department of Planning for having council successfully was successful in achieving one of those grants. So just looking at that motion again, that the council officers consult with the Geographical Names Board on the process, which is part two, that's correct, that council approves the community engagement campaign on potential names for Hornsey Lane, and that a report is brought back on the outcomes, rather than have brought back, should we say that the matter be reported back to council? Or no, it doesn't matter. That's fine, leave it as is. On the outcomes of the community engagement campaign via confidential item. Okay, so mover and seconder happy with that? Any other questions? Councillor Finucane, did you have a question?
Not a question, just with the process. This actually goes to the secretariat, and on the website you can punch in what a name is and whether it's going to get up or not. There is a very much an emphasis on Indigenous names. That's a real push for the Geographical Names Board. But it's all about wayfinding. You know, if you've got the emergency services, someone's fallen down, you want to be able to identify it immediately. If it's after someone, they have to be dead for 12 months. And you can't have the word "the" in it or a direction. You can't
so do I miss out?
I can't be fake Elaine, you're saying?
Can't have fake a square?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of Ferno Cook, but it's too long. It has to be 25 characters.
But we're going to get that big statue of John Maid as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Now, I'm not requesting. Can I suggest it? Sorry, Councillor Ferno Cook, you still have...
I just wanted to finish by saying, I think we have to work out what we're happy with. Do we want it to be called a place, or are happy to continue it to be a lane? You know, because lanes are kind of groovy, but it depends on when we inform ask the community, which is a great idea. Just to make one that we don't give traction to something that's going to be rejected, because we can't just name it. We have to seek acceptance for it, and two, that that we know something that's going to fit. So probably in the proposal it says that we resolve the name, and then we tell the Geo Names Board and relevant authorities. It's probably better the other way around. We've got to get approval first, then we can do the reveal.
Yes, which I think is covered in part two, which says the council officers consult with the Geographical Names Board on process. And I think I suspect the general manager might speak to you about that process as well, considering you're on the board. But I think those issues that were raised have actually been discussed, councillors, so I think we're aware of that. The other thing is, I think you're correct in saying that we need to sort of decide what we want to call it. Do we call it a lane? Do we call it a place? Do we call it a square? I'm not sure. The other, I mean, squares are quite groovy now, considering we're moving towards squares, but I'm not sure. I mean, that's something that we, and while I think we've got a very strong Indigenous connection, which came through in the naming of Wongal Park, I think we also need to sort of discuss with this proposed change, is it something that we look at, considering there's three murals there which are past, present and future? Is it something that we want to link back to the past, like with our Indigenous connection, or is it something that we want to look at as possibly as part of the future, considering it's leaping into the future? I'm not sure. So let's maybe get some ideas, and then we might even actually run a workshop on everything before with councillors to actually, I guess, get councillors' views before we actually even come back via a report, I think, and before we even go to, or at that stage, then we might go to the Geographical Names Board to get approval if we sort of agreeance on something. But let's just see what type of ideas come out in the campaign.
Can we make suggestions?
Not this stage. Can I, do I have any other questions by councillors? Now, was that moved by Councillor Del Duca, I think, and seconded by Councillor Crichton? Is that correct? Are you happy with those changes, councillors? So just confirming, Councillor Del Duca is happy with the change, and so is Councillor Crichton, with the amendment, I should say. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare the motion carried unanimously. Next item is item 100/20, which is the investment report. Do I have any questions? Councillor Ferno Cook, adequate? No, it's been moved by Councillor Ferno Cook, seconded by Councillors Sorry, that was moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Fernow-Cook. Sorry, Councillor. I heard a voice. Any questions? Speakers, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 33/20, which is the answers to questions without notice at the council meeting of the 25th of August 2020, which is now we're going to look at whether that process is working correctly, which I thought was working fine. In saying that, considering that we're still adopting a policy of the way we've been proceeding until we have a meeting with Elizabeth, was it Elizabeth? Do I have any questions without notice that councillors would like to read out that we'll table at the meeting? Councillor Crichton?
Thank you. I do have three. I'll be quick and I have emailed them in. Question one, what are the breakdown participation rates for our suite of council apps? How do we promote the availability of our apps? And are all of our apps available at the App Store and Android apps /Google Play Store? Question two, what are the results of the New South Wales Government's 3-month trial of touchless pedestrian crossing sensors at the intersection of Burwood Road and Railway Parade implemented to minimise the transmission of coronavirus and other bacteria? And finally, three, has an information plaque been included on site of Engar King AM stainless steel abstract installation Awakening, acknowledging its internationally renowned Australian-German artists and providing sculpture details, including the title, date, materials, dimensions and description? Has the council informed the National Gallery of Australia and the New South Wales Art Gallery of the location of this most significant artwork? Thank you.
Councillor Fernow-Cook?
Yes, well, mine is not as fancy as that. I've just got one. How many fines were issued in the Oxford Street area, Burwood, over the last 2 months? Parking fines.
Oh, okay. Is that Oxford Street between Condor and Wentworth? That Oxford, yep.
Yeah, that area.
Yep. So that's on notice? So we'll take that on notice.
Last time?
Okay. Councillor Dixit, you had a question too.
All good.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I thought I saw a raise hand. Councillor Chan, did you have a question? Did you raise your hand or no? Okay, no, he doesn't. All right. There being no further questions without notice, I would like to thank all the councillors for their attendance. For a good meeting, and we're finished at 1 minute past six, which is quite a good time. Can I ask councillors also, do you want to have a, because I've been speaking to the general manager, so I might just declare the meeting closed and stop the recording, but just stay on. So the meeting's closed at 1 minute past six on the 22nd of September. So thank you to the councillors and staff. Are we stopped recording? We're still recording. I can see recording still.